This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You better clutch your nuts, honey, because it's time for Squirrel Talk.
Marhaba, marhaba, marhaba! We are back here on Squirrel Talk. I went Arabic this time for your nerve. How's everybody doing? Guess what? We're back here on Squirrel Talk, and I don't have a guest this time because I have the original, not the original, but like one of the original co-hostesses of Squirrel Talk. It's the one and only straight from Camp Wanakiki. What's that? Is that a squirrel? I have had my landlord remove a squirrel from my roof over and over for the last decade.
Yes, it's the ghost of the dead squirrel haunting you.
Oh, God, you're the dead one. There are several different ones. One has been dead on my balcony for a couple of years. He's finally gone.
But now he's haunting me. You killed my brother. Ooh.
I did, and with good reason.
Do you have any nuts? No, nuts? I'll take nuts as a tribute.
Hold on a second. I only know one person who likes nuts, and it's not a squirrel.
Oh, you got me. Rip off, squirrel head. Hi, it's me, Hillary Yass.
It's Hillary Yass. Straight from Camp Wanakiki, season 4, episode 2.
You never know what we're going to show up as campy girls. I'm going to be dressed as a tiny little squirrel. I'm surprised I could fit in that little body. You never thought I was that svelte, did you?
Did you not take a little beaver with you to Camp Wanakiki?
No, the beaver, that's actually Vicky's. You know Vicky's beaver purse.
Yeah, I thought she gave it to you for the show. Did she not?
Not for the show, but I had it for the premiere party.
Ah, that's where you wore it. That's where you had it.
Yeah, I brought it to the premiere party, and everyone loved my beaver purse and not me. So that was great.
No. Not you. No, nobody ever likes you. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. People are loving you. You did an incredible job so far on Camp Wanakiki. Oh, let's talk about your journey a little bit, because this is an exciting thing that not enough people are watching. For those of you listening, it is available on Out TV in North America. If you do not have a subscription, I have a password. I will give it to you. Or Hillary has a code to get you a discount to watch it. It's very cheap.
It's good until the 31st, so that was over.
That's over. Yeah, it's done. Yeah, never mind. Never mind.
I mean, you can get a free subscription for Out TV or like a cheap one for at least a month, like a lot of the services. Mm-hmm. So catch up. But also, Out TV has lots of good content. Call Me Mother, lots of other shows, Gauntlet Games, Go Go for the Gold, lots of cool stuff.
And like lots of great, it has Absolutely Fabulous on there.
Oh, God.
A great series from Britain called Cucumber, followed by Banana, by Tofu. Yeah, those are good ones.
Yeah, so Camp Wanakiki, I mean, it's crazy. I'm doing pretty good. As of episode 2, it's a good situation. I've been safe, and then I won.
You won episode 2! That is so. You really deserved it. That you wore a couch look by Pretty Ugly Gorgeous in Toronto, who does like amazing patchwork stuff, and you guys worked together to make a couch look with a fully rhinestoned, removable and replaceable converter. I call it a converter. What do you call it?
Remote control.
In my household, it was always a converter, and I guess because it converts channels. Some people call it a zapper.
Yeah. That's like a
clicker. I hate when people call it clicker. I hate that.
That's like the old school term, the converter. That's like very 1950s.
I am from that era, so yes.
Yeah, no, it was a really amazing outfit. And it's hard to move in. And I got dressed and undressed by fellow OutTV consorter, Eddie Danger. He helped me in and out of
He helped dress you?
Yes. I like to tell people now that I've been dressed and undressed by an erotic star. So
He's a very... So were you horny on set? Like, was everybody horny on set?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But I kept it to myself. I kept it to myself.
You know? Did you ever hear anybody? Like, were you... Okay, hold on a second. Your sleeping arrangements. Were you in bunks? Like, were you in, like, a straight-up camper bunk?
Yes. It was like, 8 bunks across a hall.
Was it so, all of you in the same room?
Six and six. So, 6 of us in one cabin, 6 of us in the other. I think I've told this, but Coleslaw was a really bad snorer also, so... So she actually drove most of the people to our cabin. We actually ended up with, like, everybody in our cabin.
Oh, my God. I would hate. I'm going to sneeze, by the way. Excuse me. She snores, I sneeze. I would hate to have to bunk with people. One person, okay. But 8 of us in a room? No, thank you.
It was weird. I mean, like, and that's the thing also, because, like, you'd think it would be like, ooh, sexy, sexy. But it's like, you're also, like, sleeping in bunk beds that are designed for, like, children. And you're like,
yes,
there's something weird about this. Like,
so not only are you in drag, like, how many hours? 16?
Sure. Like, it's all day.
Yeah.
You know, and
then you get to sleep on these, like, tiny little bunks. That's... like torture. Oh, yeah. At least the Drag Race girls get a hotel room.
I know. The Drag Race girls always complain. It's like, it's so hard. It's like, honestly, Camp Buena Kiki is an experience unto itself.
Yeah.
But it was so good. A lot of people are very, I think that they, when it sinks in, like, we're actually doing these looks and, like, presenting high concept drag, especially because even Camp Buena Kiki, we're trying to keep up with even the Drag Race girls.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you got to rise to the level. Yeah.
But we're doing it without production teams really helping us at all. We're doing it with less time, and we're doing it outdoors in the elements.
Yeah. And you're staying in character the whole time. You're in drag the entire show. We never see you out of drag until you're kicked off.
That's right. Yeah. So it's all character based.
Yeah.
The realest we get actually is in the rec room, which is kind of like our version of the pit stop.
Which I just realized you have a whole separate show for that. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. So actually, you're not getting the whole story if you're not watching the rec room. The rec room is on offer on the Camp Buena Kiki YouTube under the membership. I think the membership is like $5 a month or something. So it's worth checking. It's worth checking out. If you want to see some of the other behind the scenes tea, where, like, I don't know, it was hilarious. I watched it today. It was quite entertaining. Yeah, so that's fun.
Do you get into any spats in you yourself? I'm asking.
Well, there was a little bit of a spat between me and Coleslaw. They didn't really bring it up too much because honestly, in Camp Buena Kiki, we're not about drama, which is honestly. I've been watching a lot of Camp Buena Kiki. I'll be honest, I didn't watch Canada's Drag Race last week because I was too invested in...
Oh, you missed a good one, but I've totally get it. It was your premiere week.
I'm going to get to it, but I just couldn't. And so coming back to Drag Race this week, I was like, man, Drag Race is all about drama.
Yes.
Like, they focus on the drama, and it's just like, somebody says, like, you ate my cereal, and it's just like violins start playing, and it's just like, ree, ree, ree. And it's like, on Camp Buena Kiki, we would not care about that. They actually try to get rid of that.
Right.
It's such a positive show. I really think it's so positive, and I love that. So
you did incredible.
But we did have a spat, Coleslaw and I. We had this camper thing where we had to build a fire this week and do ropes. We had to do knots. It was kind of like a relay race.
Yes.
So we all had to do a separate different rope, and I got a square knot, and it's just like a little diagram. I had to tie a square knot.
Right.
And I had a mental meltdown. I was like, I had no idea why I was so bad at tying ropes. And they didn't really show it that well, but like Coleslaw totally was like,
Hillary, you have to know how to do this knot.
And I'm like, you have to, well, maybe you can help me, Hillary. And she's like,
oh, no, you figure it out.
And it was just very weird. And we kind of got into a little thing. We're totally good now. But like, yeah. I do want, if you want the drama, there's drama. We just don't highlight it. Okay.
Also, like, those challenges are for comedy. Like, the winner doesn't matter. There's not really a winner, is there?
You know, I think it influences things. It depends upon the challenge.
Okay.
I mean, I think they do take it into account sometimes. But, like, honestly, on Camp Wanakiki, the runway, the talent show.
Yeah.
It's, like, really important. Like,
oh, it's that's what it's all about.
It's honestly, it's weird because on, you know, Drag Race, it's, like, all fashion. But, like, sometimes the talent show is more important than the challenge on Camp Wanakiki. Whereas, like, on Drag Race, sometimes the challenge is more important than the runway. You know,
yeah. Like, and you girls are bringing it this season. Like the looks this particular week have been really good, and it's great to see camp with fashion, which is amazing. I want to talk about your look a little bit because you were a couch, but you had change falling out of places. Like, where was that change? How did you keep it in there, and how did you release it?
It's just kind of a magic trick. I held it in my hands, and I just kind of shook. Yeah.
It was coming out of your hands? I thought it was coming out of your boobs.
No, I've just palmed it in my hands, and it gives a great illusion.
Oh, I thought it was coming out of your cushion boobs.
No, you don't even have to do that. Nope.
I guess I wasn't paying close enough attention.
Well, it's all magic, you know? Like, it's all the magic tricks that you bring to the stage. And after last week's episode, I think Clinica really did well because she did all these gags with pulling bags out of herself because she was in this full bag gown, a plastic bag. It was really cool. I knew that, like, they liked the gags. They wanted to be fun. They wanted to be stupid.
Yes, that's what the show's about.
And so I did every gag possible. I leaned back further than Naomi Smalls on a Tuesday to fully recline.
Uh-huh, you sure did.
Thank God they didn't show me getting up from leaning back that far.
The editing was very kind. It was very kind.
It was very kind.
Yeah.
I fell on the floor. No.
Did you actually? No, I didn't.
But it was awkward. And then there was, I found a cookie in my boob. You know, like all couch stuff. And then, of course, the PS, the coins, they died. And I want to tell you, it was Canadian cash. The sugar bakers were so surprised. They were like, I've never seen a toonie before. Like,
that is
an educational. Yeah, they're like that. Anyway. And then, of course, the piece de resistance is that I had the sequin, a rhinestone remote control.
Yes.
Magneted to my butt. And then I just kind of found it and stuck it as my, like, prime gemstone. Becoming the queen empress of drag couchdom.
It was a very smart outfit. It was smart. It was beautiful. It really worked. And you deserved your win.
I think it was well conceived. And I'm very proud of Dustin for constructing it. And Dustin, that was kind of the first drag look that he's actually put together.
What?
Yeah, kind of the pretty much the first one, because he was doing his jackets and stuff, but
yeah, like
now,
patchwork.
Now people are like using him and getting him to do drag stuff all the time.
Yeah,
so Dustin owes me his career. A lot of people,
he paid you back by letting you walk his runway.
I know he's done so many great things for me. I love him. I just say it as a jest. It's his total jest. But, like, you know, I think I. You know, as camp queens, sometimes we help out a lot of people and we don't necessarily get all the credit we deserve in the world.
No, for sure. Like, I saw Gay Ping Ho's talent. A lot of people did, but, like, I worked a lot with Gay Ping Ho, especially during the pandemic, making videos for me, editing videos for me. And I would always post about Gay Ping and being like, hire this person. They're so fucking good. And then now you see all the Drag Race girls are using her for all their content, which is amazing. That, like, I mean, she's getting that platform.
I mean, even Blake.
Blake Morrow.
Blake Morrow started doing drag photos with us, and now he does all the Drag Race girls and totally forgets about us.
We love you, Blake.
No, we do love you, but it's kind of annoying sometimes. Like, us, We are honestly cutting edge performers a lot of the time.
We're underground.
And we don't get the credit we deserve.
True.
So sometimes I'm just like, you know what? That's fine, because all of you obviously don't have any good ideas. We're the ones that have good ideas. And you just like to steal them all the time. So work, work, baby.
You heard it here first. Brooklyn Heights steals from Hillary Ass.
Probably she does. She stole from Amanda Lepore this week. I mean, like, it was just straight out ripped from Amanda Lepore's closet. It was okay.
Anyway. it was all right.
It was fine.
Your couch look actually was almost repeated on this episode twice on Canada's Drag Race. But luckily, those two people who also had couch looks did not make it to this episode. So
they went home. I'm hoping, apparently Bombay had a couch look and Irma God had a couch look. And Vivian Vanderpuss already did their couch look as their entrance.
She walked in on a couch. Yes.
I think it's kind of crazy. It must have been something in the air, all of these Canadian queens doing couch looks at the same time.
Yeah, except what the hell?
I was first.
You were the first one to go to... Yeah, you filmed Camp Waikiki a full year ago.
Camp Waikiki happened a year ago. So I'm telling you, people are stealing my ideas, whether they know it or not.
It's just Hillary is in the zeitgeist and everyone is stealing from Hillary.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We'll make that a meme. Hillary.
I've stolen from you. I wear your outfits all the time.
Well, my drag daughter, I mean, she steals all my outfits. I mean, that's what happened. I'm very happy. I'm very happy right now. There's still, you know, lots of episodes of Camp Waikiki to go. So, yeah. I mean, we're not done yet. So watch it. Please watch it. We're turning it. And I have to say, it's funny. Like, I find the show very funny.
It is very funny.
I think this season has really ratcheted it up. Like, they've had to condense things into 45 minutes for TV. And I think it's done the comedy of the show a huge service.
Because editing... like comedy is in the editing for a lot of it, and like when you have to be choppier, you have to, like, you get to the joke quicker.
Yeah, so like all seasons of Camp Waikiki are funny, but they're a little bloated, I find.
Yeah,
and our season, because it has to be so specific.
Yeah,
and just everybody on the season is really funny. Everyone is funny.
Yes,
and everyone is individual, and it's just a really good season. Please check out Camp Waikiki if you can.
There's good personalities this season. It's fun to watch. It's just fun.
Honestly, you're gonna watch Camp Waikiki and see what we're doing on our show, and next year you're gonna see the same thing on Drag Race. I promise.
Like, no, they don't understand. They don't know what comedy is over there. They still won't get it, even after watching Camp Waikiki.
But have you seen, like, they had Camp Waikiki, and then literally Drag Race stole camp challenges and was doing Camp Waikiki. Like, it was.
Well, they're still doing it badly.
And they're still doing it, and they can't do it as well as we can. So, like, goodbye. Anyway.
So this is now a Camp Waikiki podcast. No more talk about Drag Race.
The show's
almost over anyway.
Maybe I'm a little bit biased, of course, but also, like, I'm a little bit miffed this week because last week I missed the week, but we said goodbye to Irma, a beautiful camp queen from the East Coast. And this week we're saying goodbye to the other side, Vivian. And I'm kind of like, both of my camp sisters are gone, one after the other, and I don't agree. I just don't agree.
They both brought great camp. I do agree with Irma's elimination last week. I have questions about Vivian's elimination this week. So let's talk about it.
Huge questions. So do you want to get into, like, the start of the episode here?
Yeah, let's do that.
Canada's Drag Race Season 3, what is it? Seven?
I think this one was eight.
It's the one before the finale, right? So
yeah. Although I don't know if they're going to do a reunion. I heard there was a reunion, so who knows what's actually going to happen next week.
I don't think there's a reunion next week. I think it's the finale next week. Thank God. Because, I mean, Canada's Drag Race is on the same night as Camp Waikiki, so people need to come to my viewing party, which is doing fine, by the way. I don't need you. No.
Listen, I've had to work the last 2 weeks. I haven't been able to go, but I am off this coming Thursday, so I will be there.
Last night, we're doing this on Friday, but last night was the viewing party for episode 2, and I felt the love. People
good
loved it, so thank you.
Well, it's fucking lovable, and you're fucking lovable, so...
But back to Canada's Drag Race. Okay.
Yeah, back
so
to that. Irma went home.
It was really dramatic at the start. I can't remember.
Was it?
They did like phone calls home.
Oh, yeah. Well, not phone call. They got like a video message from home.
A video message from home. And can we talk about the fact that Jada Shada Hudson, no one loves her enough, so Baby Bell Bell had to come onto the phone?
That made me laugh a little bit. No, it's not that she doesn't have anybody who, like, her mom comes to visit and, like,
no,
her mom yeah. knows that Jada, so I'm wondering how they didn't get her mom, but I guess, like, someone in Barbados is like, I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
So
I know. I think it was funny because everybody got a message and just like was moved to tears. Giselle's partner, Fierce even had a moment. You like almost saw a tear fall down her cheek. Like, maybe.
Yeah, you really notice how like this person is not out there with their emotions at all, because she was very like I don't know. If my mom did that, I probably would have like had the same reaction, because I'm also not very in touch with my emotions, but like right. it should be making me like break down that yeah. she was just very she internalized it.
I mean, in a lot of ways, it's weird watching the episode because I'm feeling a lot of these things too, watching myself on Camp yeah. Wanakiki. I forgot how emotional I was being in those situations. And I was like, oh my God, I'm very emotional and vulnerable. But it was really funny watching the juxtaposition of like when it got to Jada and Bell Bell popped up and Jada yeah. was just kind of like, kind of had this look of disappointment. And no shade, Bell Bell, but I mean, like, I don't know. Like, did you have to come and drag? I don't know about that. But Bell Bell found a way. Bell Bell found a way to get herself on Drag Race eventually.
She finally can say she was on Canada's Drag Race. Wait, hold on a second. Bell. I'm really curious as to how they get these parents to do it. Like, how did they get Fierce's mom? Because I know that Fierce's mom is not necessarily very supportive of her drag. And
yeah.
So, like, I'm very, like, do they just, like, because I don't want them ever reaching out to my mom and being like, we need you to make this video for your child who's on Drag Race. Like,
right.
That's not fucking cool. So did they all did they give them in advance names that they would like be open to hearing a message from, or who should make a message for them? So mm-hmm. I'm wondering who was on Jada's list.
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, like, they're very specific. Some of the parents were like top five. So, I mean, I don't know. That's a good question.
Right.
Maybe it's just because things are so Zoom heavy, like it's easy for their producer yeah. to do it like on a weekend or whatever.
Yeah. I actually have a feeling that they had all the people make the videos like weeks ago saying top five, but like not knowing whether or not they would actually make it to the top five.
Yeah.
And then they just aired whatever they got.
And I think that's such a sadder situation, because then you're like, there are all those videos out there where it's like, he got to the top five, and they did it.
And they did it.
Oh, well. Top five. My goodness.
So we're missing a lot of, like, the classic. Like, we didn't get a puppet challenge. Like, all the other international seasons are doing puppet challenges. Uh-huh. I think season one did it.
Did you notice that they had my favorite judge on for most of the episode? What's his name?
What's his name? Brad Goreski.
Brad, right?
Yeah. Brad?
Did you notice that, like, he was, like, the only one they had? And also, he looked over to the wall and was like, where's the masks that you guys are supposed to make?
If that was supposed to be a comedy thing, like, a nod to the fact that they don't have a pit crew, they did that so fucking badly.
I think they don't have a pit crew. I think there's some budget issues. Like, this season, obviously there's some budget issues.
Well, they didn't have a pit crew last year because of COVID. I don't know what the excuse is this year. They have a great pit crew from season one who are like still working heavily and promoting the fact that they were on Drag Race. Like, bring them back. We want to see them again.
Maybe they don't have money.
So sexy. Maybe they don't have money. That's the thing. But like, that mask bit was so awkward. Brad is the most awkward person on TV. I don't understand what's happening. What are they doing?
I just think that they don't have money. Like, they have these hosts, and the hosts are kind of like called in here and there, and there's no money. I honestly think it's a money thing, and I think it's been showing throughout this season.
Yeah, like,
the money is not there.
They haven't paid the light bill. The lights are off the entire time.
Yeah, Crave is not. I don't know. I don't think Crave is interested in a fourth season. We'll see. We'll see.
I don't think Crave is interested in making good TV.
Yeah, seriously. But I mean, the prize is so high, like $100,000. Like, that's a significant chunk of change for the budget, yes, too. So,
well, that's the thing. It's like the budget's all going to the prize money.
But at the same time, like, having such a huge cast, like, because it's a huge cast, but they don't have to pay anyone except for, like, I don't know, maybe a per diem or something, but it's nothing. Uh-huh. It's not what you should be getting paid. Right. I don't know. I just think they need to think about their budgeting. Like, where's the money going? Like, obviously this set needs less money because the set sucks. Like,
I like the set. I think the set's nice. I think it's not lit well. That's the problem.
It's distracting. I don't like it at all.
Okay. Fair enough.
Anyway,
you get their messages from home, and then they have a ball to do.
Yeah, so the balls, they have to do a ball, three looks. So we're going to have to go through a lot of looks this episode. Oh, my God. Was there anything that was happening in the sewing? I mean, like, obviously Vivian and Giselle are told to be, like, the best sewers there, right?
They're told to be. Yes, that's correct.
And then everyone else is, like, the hot glue gun team.
We're the hot glue gun girls. which, like, fine, yes. And they actually do make good creations with hot glue. I'm not going to be mad at them.
What is that? Is that the ice cream truck?
It is. It sounds like an airplane.
Oh. Oh. Well, it's much more exciting than this episode was. No, okay. So.
Should I close my windows?
No, it's okay. You're so smoking hot. Oh my goodness.
Hey, you know what I mean? Hey.
I mean, I don't know. Was there anything else other than the looks in this episode to talk about? I don't think so. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, let's get to the looks.
It's just the looks. Okay, well, why don't we take a break and move on to the looks?
Okay, good, because I have to blow my nose.
Good. Close a window or something. Buy me some ice cream if you can.
You know what I like best about the ice cream truck? Mm. Is that when it comes around, they play the lambada.
What? That's the lambada? Oh, I thought it was just like a wind chime. Anyways, we'll be back, squirrels. See you in a minute.
Ooh, we're back.
Oh my goodness, we're back. And apparently there's an air raid in your location because there it is again.
Oh my God, it's getting louder.
Is that just some old woman farting on the street? Like, what is this?
I wish, because I miss that lady. I don't know where she went. But
well, say hi to Vicky for me.
She is not too far from me. No, I live right by the air show. And for those of you who do not live in Toronto, the air show is the stupidest.
Yeah, keep going.
Are you getting your front?
I'm for grant.
So the air show is the stupidest thing that they do every single year, where fighter jets just fly around in, I guess, in sequence with each other. Mm. It's the loudest zooming sound. It sounds like my roof is going to blow off my house. It is
fighter jets. Is that what they call them? I thought they were called dicks in space.
I mean, they basically are.
and they blow off the top of your house. Why don't they come in and blow you first? Okay.
West all of a sudden. Why don't you come over and blow me sometime?
Talking about the fighter jets. I mean, they're kind of interesting. That's crazy that you can pilot a ship like that so amazingly.
Sure.
Whatever. But like, anyway.
It's also great that you can disturb entire fucking neighborhoods in a city.
It's very loud.
And terrorize the people who live there.
I know. But talking about the CNE, which is like the fair in Toronto here. Have you heard about the crazy new ice cream flavor? Because they always have a food thing, right?
No, I live right by it. I should go today.
Some of the crazy new food things. The big thing this year is ketchup and mustard flavored ice cream.
No, thank you. Get out of here.
For $12.
$12?
Yeah, apparently it's disgusting.
Of course it's disgusting. Of course, I don't know. Ketchup flavored chips are delicious. They're amazing. If you don't live in Canada, you need to come get some.
This is ice cream. I don't know. Gross.
It's a problem.
I mean, there used to be good things. Remember, like, the Cronut and, like,
Yes.
Oh, I don't know, like, apple cake, apple pie, milkshakes and stuff. I don't know, cool stuff, but this is a bit much. I'm not sure.
No, this is going too far.
Too far, even for camp, to be camp.
I don't accept it.
Okay, well, this is one of those episodes. This is one of those episodes where we have a lot of looks, but thank God there's only, like, 5 people left, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's only 15 looks to talk about. There's not... Like, on a regular season of Drag Race, when they do the ball, when there's still 12 of them.
It takes us 2 hours to get through this.
Yeah, like, no thank you.
So the overall theme is, like, mask, masculinity, or, like, just the word mask.
Mask, right? For mascara, yes.
So there's mask for mascara, and then there's the masquerade eleganza that they had to make based on, out of materials, based on some mask that Vivian assigned to each of them. And then there's...
Incognito,
which is like a reveal look where you're supposed to be like incognito and then reveal into elegant drag after that or whatever.
Something by day and then drag queen by night or whatever.
I love that. I love incognito. That's a good...
It's a great category.
That's a great category.
Yeah, I'm disappointed with a lot of the takes on it, though. So let's get into it.
All right, so which one's first? The mask for mascara?
Mask for mascara.
So they describe this category as gender fuck. Uh-huh. But I'm seeing a lot of the queens did drag king looks that I wasn't super happy about. I was like,
some of them actually wore outfits that were provided to them by drag kings.
So, but like, it's not drag king, it's gender F. So I was I was a little bit confused by this category and some of the placements, therefore.
Right.
So I think first of the runway was Gisele Lullaby doing like Givenchy Paris, I don't know.
I think it's Comme des Garçons or...
Popeye the Sailor.
No, it's an actual...
Is it like a painting?
No. It's a designer. Oh, it's a specific designer. I'm going to see if I can find it. I know his name. It's Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Gaultier. Okay, Gaultier.
Yeah.
I thought this was fine.
I thought it was fantastic. Knowing that, like, getting the reference, like, it is very Jean-Paul Gaultier. Like, it's very that with, like, French sailor.
Yeah. I just didn't think it was all that gender F. I thought it was okay. I don't know. I thought it was more drag king. It was fine.
Oh, I thought it was... gorgeous. I thought it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a great way to take this, especially from someone who is French. I give it a nut.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I give it a cut. Hey, there you go. I think next was Kimmy Couture coming out in her cape a la Liberace with tassels on her boobs. And
This is not her own look. This was provided to her by Cyril Cinder, a drag king in Ottawa.
Oh, is this a Cyril look?
This is a Cyril look.
This is a very Cyril look.
Yeah, it is very Cyril. Yeah.
Yeah, and props to Kimmy for doing it because, of course, like Brooklyn said, this would inspire some dysphoria.
True.
As a trans person. But yeah, I don't like it on her, unfortunately. This is a
Don't.
No,
I like it.
I think it's, I don't think it's serving what I want. Like, it's just, no, I don't like it. Too simple.
No, I like it. I wish that it wasn't topless.
What's the story here, though? Like, I don't get a story out of this.
I'm getting, like, Liberace, like, very, like, flamboyant gay man with a cape.
Who wears tassels? I don't understand this.
It's like gender fuck.
Yeah, okay. I cut it. Sorry.
You want gender fuck, you get gender fuck, you hate gender fuck. What's happening?
Maybe I don't understand the category, but it's my life and I'm living it my way.
Okay, well, I give this a nut. I do like it.
Also, who cares? Like, if I cut it, who cares? I'm not special. Okay. Next,
you're the winner of Camp Wanakiki season 4, episode 2.
Episode 2. Woo, so special. I think it was Vivian next with this.
Sure,
thing.
Let's say that. Yeah.
I think I this is gender fuck to me, because this is just like a hoity-toity. I love with the cod piece, and mm-hmm. she came out in the jacket at first. Mm-hmm. I love this. This is a total nut for me.
I want you to know I love everything about this except the fit. I think the fit is a crime. I think
really?
It's so baggy and loose on her, like in the middle. Really? It's, yeah.
Okay. Okay. No, I see what you mean. Maybe it's just not, it's not corseted enough, but
yeah, you know, it's just kind of like, it looks like it was made for a different body and then she put it on. It's really weird.
Yeah, but the thing is, I disagree with that actually, because a male figure is not the same as a va-va-voom hourglass shape.
Well, so that's, we're going for gender. No, we're going, I don't know.
That's gender screwy. And I Drag Race is so hung up on the hourglass shape. And I
no,
know
but it's not
queen,
about hourglass. It's about the fit. I know, like, it queen, just doesn't fit her.
I disagree. I think this is gorgeous.
It's so baggy. It's loose. I'm giving it I'm giving it a nut, but I have a criticism about it.
All right. Well, it's gorgeous. Good job, Vivian. And then who's up next?
Oh, let's say Miss Fierce-alicious.
Miss Fierce-alicious. From the front, I think this is beautiful. Matthew Anderson. It was a little basic for me. I was like, okay, this is really good. I don't know if I see the gender F here. But then she turned around and I was like,
yeah.
The lingerie reveal, like full backless. That was incredible.
I this still liked it from the front, but like with the back.
I try to like temper my expectations. Like, here's a giant caveat. Every look on the runway of Drag Race is amazing. Nuts and cuts mean nothing.
They mean nothing. Especially coming from us.
Every look is amazing. Every single look. I'm just being really picky.
Yeah, you got it. This is our job exactly. As podcast hosts. We're here to criticize the runways and the judges.
Criticize runways that do not deserve criticism whatsoever.
Yeah.
This look is wonderful. It's a nut for me.
It is a nut.
Okay. And then we got Jada Shada Hudson. This is the look that I have probably the most problem with, because I think it's just drag king and I don't like it.
Oh, I love this. It tells a story. Like, I know who this person is, and she sells it on the runway. Like, I think it's fantastic. I know exactly what she's going for, and I love it.
I do like the look. I think we've seen it before. I think we've seen a rhinestoned suit done just like this before on Drag Race multiple times.
Sure.
So it's not original.
I've never seen Jada in a look like this. Like, not even just on Drag Race, but in life.
I'm not saying she doesn't look good. I think she looks amazing. But for the challenge of gender F, I'm like, no, this is a cut.
I'm down with it. I give it a nut.
Work.
Work, diva.
Again, I love them all. I'm moving on.
We got Incognito.
Who's first?
Same order. So Giselle was the first one. And she gave us a schoolgirl who turns into a drag queen.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me personally, I don't think the two had anything to do with each other. And what I'm looking for, what I'm most critical of in this particular category, is a story to be told. And she told us a story with her words, but I didn't see it with the looks.
I saw this story because I do think when you're going out and you're young and you know, you're trying to hide yourself, especially when you're like young and in school.
Yes.
And you have to like go out into the world hiding your reality, your camp, your drag
Correct.
From your parents.
Yes.
And then you're able to take off all the ugly little girl drag, which I loved her little ugly girl drag. Very
sure,
Matilda.
Yeah.
Very
late. Yeah, it was very Matilda. It was. Yeah.
And she took it off. And I have to say, I know they were criticizing her reveal was a little quote unquote clunky. I live for a clunky, stupid, funny, badly done reveal.
It's on purpose.
I do them all the time because it's stupid. Like just
it is stupid.
Revealing badly is so funny to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. And it's hilarious. And it's hilarious when you do it. It was hilarious when she did it because she did my favorite thing is when something goes wrong, you play into it. You don't,
yeah,
you don't let it fluster you. You play into it.
Yeah.
And she did that. And I love that. I give her props for that.
I also
give her props
love...
for her first look. I give her props for her story. I do not give her props for the second look. I think, first of all, it's an ugly drag look. And
I don't like the hair.
I don't like the hair. I don't like it with the outfit. I don't like the outfit itself.
Right.
And I don't see how the two connect to each other. Like, I don't see how that little girl would become this drag queen. You know what I mean?
I see what you mean. I also like applaud like the difference between the looks. Like they're so strikingly different.
It's like, yeah, because they're not because they have nothing to do with each other.
you're not wrong, and I think she'd probably agree with you on that. I'd be like, you're right.
I give it a cut.
Overall, I give it a nut because I live for a bad transition done well like that. And I think even she was probably playing it up more, and they were trying to make it seem like she was screwing up because that's what they do on Drag Race.
Right.
So Giselle is a nut. Well, she is a nut. She's a total nut.
And I love that about her. moving on, we have Kimmy Couture.
Kimmy Couture.
Speaking of two looks that are not connected.
This first look, though, the Asian 25 anonymous thing.
Hillary, both of our microphones just fell. What is happening?
I don't know. What's happening? It's the apocalypse. The Asian anonymous 25 square that she came out in.
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant.
I thought it was brilliant. It was a great take on it.
Brilliant. Such a statement. So camp. Unfortunately, when she came out in essentially just a colorful bodysuit with, you know, vivacious spikes on her head.
Yeah.
It said nothing
about
who she is.
And nothing about the story she's telling. It had nothing to do with the grinder person.
Again, like, it's a good look. Like, I love the look. It's fun. But, like, what?
But what does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with anything, bitch? And also, I kind of wish, like, even though I love the grinder thing, I wish that had been incorporated into some kind of costume. I think a fighter jet's about to fly. Here it comes. Can you hear it yet?
Is it coming?
It's coming. Is this not going to... I don't think this is going to rip my roof off.
Isn't it going to come over to you?
It's coming. Why don't you come into my house and blow my roof off sometime?
Here it comes. Here it comes.
But I wish that it wasn't just a piece of fabric she was holding in front of her that she dropped. Like, I wish that it was a look. You know what I mean?
I totally buy that. Yeah. I mean, it is, like, a very daring choice to just hold a piece of fabric. But, like... It designed. We've seen worse. Like, I'm sorry. What's her name? She won like season 10 or something. Aquaria.
Yeah.
She stapled some black cardboard to her body and they let her win. I think that's daring. Valentina came out with literally two little things.
Oh, that was brilliant. That was a very recognizable Madonna look.
It's a very recognizable look, but it's simple and it's daring. So like,
yeah,
I think a daring thing like this as a reveal that is so striking, like the anonymous Asian 25.
Uh-huh.
Brilliant. Iconic. Historic. I love it. I'll forgive, you know, the anti-fashion.
I will not. I'm going to give this a cut because there was no relation to the second look. It made me angry.
Totally. Oh, totally. No, this is a cut because the second look is not... makes no sense.
Right.
But yeah, this is a cut, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Vivian. Oh my God. I mean, I can't not like this. This is so camp.
She comes out
as a chef. She has sleeve reveals.
Uh-huh.
And then the chef outfit completely transforms into a waitress with pasta on her boobs.
Yeah.
Brilliant dress. And
fantastic.
And then the chef's hat is removable to reveal a giant beehive. This is wonderful.
This is drag. This is the category that it tells a fucking story that is related.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And they just criticized her about skipping too much.
What a fucking stupid criticism. They're like, oh, you have a personality. We don't want to see that. Can you just give us nothing?
Well, it's like, I don't care if you skip down the runway. If that's how you serve who you are,
exactly.
One way.
just because Kimmy Couture, I haven't seen her do anything but like strut. Like you're gonna criticize Vivian for skipping? Like go fuck
yeah,
yourself.
Excuse her for having a fucking personality. Like, what's your fucking problem?
I don't understand.
God, I hate the show sometimes.
It's maddening. Okay, Jada Shada Hudson comes out in a black dress, which reveals to the same
dress.
What is happening? It's not a great dress.
No.
It's okay. I don't know what was happening.
Everything. The second look was it's terrible.
It just kind of looks like a dress like that has layers that you lifted up the one layer and it was like, this is a reveal. I'm not sure what the story is here.
There's no story. It's a cut.
That's a total cut. Sorry, Jada. And then, of course, we got Ms. Fearshalicious coming out in this, the girl, the village girl with the fruit basket on her head with the wrap, which I thought was already very chic.
Right? Already gorgeous.
So chic. Like, I was like, that girl is beautiful.
Yeah, she sold that. Yeah.
And then drops it and she's in this beautiful stone gold banana bikini.
Her Josephine Baker moment.
Josephine Baker. And she looks stunning.
She looks incredible. And I like that both are connected via fruit. There is something of a story. There is Black history in both of them.
Oh wow.
She does say something, a fact that I told her after, like, she told me she was doing Josephine Baker. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, because she was a spy. She was like a spy against the Nazis during World War II. And Fierce did not know that. She was like, what? It was like, it's a real fact. Fierce, look it up. So I'm glad that she said it on the runway. I will gladly take my credit for giving her that information.
I mean, Josephine Baker as an incognito. That's perfect.
Yeah. And then I kind of wish she had, you know, played that. But I do like that she did go into Black history here and played with her culture.
Absolutely. I mean, it's hard to critique this because, I mean, she has the body to do it. And both looks just so beautiful.
Yeah, it's stunning.
Wow. Big nut for that.
Nut.
I think that's incognito. And then we move on to this masquerade eleganza.
So what do you think of Giselle's look overall? First of all, she had problems because when she tried to steam her lining, it turns out it wasn't lining and it all melted.
Yeah. It was glue. Oops. Well, I mean, that's definitely a problem that could be, you know, had on a show like this where you like you're not familiar with the fabric and then you pick it up and you find out the lining is actually glue.
Yeah.
Okay. I think she turned it out. Like for the amount of help that she gave everybody else, for the amount of time and problems that she ran into with this look, she turned out a stunning masquerade ball with giant puffy sleeves with only a couple of flaws. Like that she wasn't able to hem the skirt.
Right.
Like, it was still stunning if you ignore the fact that she couldn't hem the skirt, you know?
For me, it is one of the ugliest things I've ever seen.
You hate this?
I think it's hideous.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's the colors. I don't know. I think it's ugly.
I love how it goes with the mask, you know. But yeah.
I also find she has issues pairing a wig with an outfit. I think this wig does her a bit of a disservice.
Yeah, you don't think like blue goes with red hair? I think it's nice and striking. Very like period also.
It is very period. It is an ugly period. I'm going to give it a cut.
Not everyone has the best wigs. Like Giselle, we've seen her wigs. They're not the best.
Right.
Like, I mean, who cares? Like wigs are wigs. And Giselle definitely has that sensibility of like, just do it. Just do drag. Whatever. Like, put the wig on. Have fun. And I love that about Giselle.
I love that too.
You know, like, every wig doesn't have to be perfect and coiffed. Like, Fierce Alyssis has a box. Seriously, it looks like she has a box of styled wigs that someone made for her.
For sure.
You know, and I'm like, it's nice that you have all these beautiful styled wigs, but Giselle has so much talent beyond that. You know what I mean? And no shade to Fierce, but like, Giselle just... I'm not faulting her for a less than stellar wig. Right. Like, I'm not doing that, especially on a design challenge.
I am. I'm giving her a cut.
Fine. You didn't listen to my plea for humanity.
I didn't.
I'm giving you a nut, Giselle. Who comes out next? Is it Kimmy?
Probably. Okay. I don't know. We're making things up as we go here.
Okay, Kimmy. This is one of those looks. We talked about them. This is a corset with paper glued to it.
Yeah, and, which Giselle warned her against, but here we are.
But again, Giselle is giving us the same silhouette that she's given us 55 times. Kimmy is giving us this same silhouette with the low-hanging cape that she can kind of flounce in back.
Yeah.
She knows this isn't good. This is okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a mess. I don't know why she chose to go this route when she had something much better planned.
Because you are so tired. Like, being on a reality TV show makes you so tired. Mm-hmm. Like, I bet she was just like, just let it be over. Like, I don't care. Especially, you're in top five. Like, you are one away. Like, you're going to be in every episode regardless.
Right.
You know, so like, I think that's probably when your spirit breaks.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And it is broken and we can see the fruits of that labor.
It's a cut. It's pretty, but it's a cut. And we've got Vivian? I really like this.
I like this too, especially that it's an edited down version of what she was going to do that Brad told her was too much.
Okay, but I don't understand the judging on this. So the judges, literally Brad says, okay, but don't do too much. And then she makes sure to make it perfectly tailored. It's a perfectly tailored suit, two-piece suit with tails that she made, asymmetrical, goes with the mask, is beautiful. She's wearing perfect hair with it. I think it's really cute, the cut at the ankle with nice black shoes. Everything is perfect. And then once she gets to the runway, they're like, it should have been more. And also, you were skipping. And also, we don't like your face. And Camp Craig isn't valid. And I was just like, I don't understand what is going on. They're gaslighting Vivian so hard on the runway.
Yes. This is gorgeous. And then
Brooklyn makes this comment. It's like, well, this isn't America's Next Top Model or, you know, the sewing competition one. This is Drag Race. It has to be extra. I was like, what? Are you kidding? That's not what you said, like, every other week.
And five minutes ago.
I just...
Yeah, it makes no fucking sense. There is one thing that bothers me about this, and I didn't know what it was until I'm watching it now, and she's not wearing hips. And it's just kind of, like, flat on her lower half. And I'm kind of like, I don't necessarily like that.
That's true. I mean, it is very, like, Marlena Dietrich. You know, like, it's very, like, you know... Maybe that's what she was going for, that kind of, like, fit that way. I don't know.
But does she always not wear hips? I think she does, doesn't she?
You know, I'd have to look.
And I don't care enough to look.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give this... I'm giving it a nut. Like, I love this look.
A nut. I mean, like, good for her. And then we got Mrs. Fiercelicious. She made a gown. Good for her.
She did. It is a lovely gown. It is very simple.
I think it's very pretty. Like, it fits her.
Yeah.
She's got some booty. And they were provided pads by Planet Pepper. So maybe the fact that Vivian didn't wear pads was kind of like a fuck you to Planet Pepper. Fuck you, Planet Pepper. No, don't fuck you, Planet Pepper. I love your stuff.
Please sponsor us.
Please.
Fierce looks gorgeous. She made something very simple looking, but it's like very clean. There's clean lines. Like, it's very well done.
And she did nice little embellishments, I think, too. Really cute.
It's a nut.
Good job, Fierce. Then we move on to Jada Shada Hudson. Okay. Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay. You don't, eh? Okay, no. I really like it. I don't like the organza that's all over her.
No.
I love the sleeves. I love these sleeves.
I think the sleeve idea is good, and I think that the organza is a lot better than those fans she was going to put on.
Yeah. Like, it's also impressive that she was able to make these sleeves.
I guess. I mean, like, they're just... Yeah, sure.
I would never be able to do that.
Well, who helped her? Probably Giselle. And then she put a hoop on the bottom, too. So I'm, like, wondering where all this help came from at the last minute.
Detective Hillary's on the scene.
Yeah, exactly. Detective Hillary wants to know. I still don't think it looks good from behind. And they didn't show a lot of it from behind. I think it's very plain. It's okay. I'm not going to cut it because it is good. Good job, Jada. But Detective Hillary has an inquiring mind here, and I'm not living. So, no. Yeah, I don't know what to say. So, okay. I mean, Vivian and Kimmy ended up in the bottom. Do you agree with that?
I do not agree with Vivian, especially not considering her incognito was one of two that actually fit the brief and did the assignment properly.
Yeah. I just think that she fit the brief every time. And some other people didn't. I do think either Giselle or Jada should have been in the bottom with Kimmy.
For sure. I do think Giselle or Jada, those are the two that should have been down there.
Personally, definitely Kimmy. I think probably Jada. But maybe that's not the story they're trying to sell. You know, I've been saying they've been going easy on Jada all season.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty obvious. I mean, we love her. I mean, even baby Bell loves her.
You and Bell, I want to see a show of the two of you together. On
just
a
like
mic.
Just like fighting each other. it would be like the nicest, backhandiest show ever. Too. It's like, oh my god, Bell, you're so nice to look at.
One of my favorite things is when you come for Bell on Facebook and she just laughs at it. It's very funny.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, we go through periods of like unfriending each other and friending each other.
Really?
Like,
actually, I didn't know all that.
Oh, 100%. But we're just like, well, we can't not pay attention.
That is so funny.
Okay. Social media is wild. Anyway, so... Okay, Vivian goes home. The song was fun. I thought the lip sync... Okay, the lip sync.
Yeah.
I do not think Kimmy Couture won that lip sync.
You don't? Here's what I think. I think Vivian did a fantastic job in the lip sync. I do think Kimmy definitely won that one.
I don't think Kimmy... Because Kimmy... The thing is, Kimmy's been in the bottom a lot, and she's just giving us the same moves over and over and over again.
This was only her second time.
It's a lot of whacking. It's a lot of stuff. It's just goodbye.
Yeah. I think she did better in this one than she did in the other one.
I think they're pushing narratives. I think they want Kimmy there. Kimmy sells a great, like, she's POC. She's trans. And she's going to do a great job in the finale challenge. They want her there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they want Jada. They want...
Fierce. And they want Giselle. Those fierce. Are people they want.
Vivian and they want Giselle because Giselle is Quebecois representation. So it's just like, Vivian is the one that they can get rid of. And no one's going to be mad. And also, she gets the fifth place comedy spot that all the comedy queens used to get.
True.
Back in the day.
True.
And she's also going to go out with a smile on her face, which she did.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. I don't think it's the right top four, but it is the top four that makes the most symbolic sense. Mm-hmm. Right? Right?
Yeah. I see two people out of this top four that I could see winning the show.
Who?
Fierce and Giselle.
Ermagod and Vivian Vanderpuss. Okay, we're agreed. Okay.
No, I think Fierce had an incredible run on the show. She created a lot of great TV, but also she created some incredible runways and performed really well in most of the challenges, especially the comedy challenges.
I agree. Fierce-alicious. I'm very proud of you. You've done Toronto proud.
Very proud.
I I think it's going to go to either you or Giselle Alibi at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like,
and Giselle just has winner energy. She just has, like, she conducts herself like a winner. She's very professional. She's very kind. She's hilarious. She's got a great fashion sense sometimes. She's a great performer. She just got it all. She got a full package.
Does she have a full package? I want to know. Inquiring minds want to know.
Well, if we lend her Vivian's codpiece from the Master Mascara, like, we can find out.
Oh, yeah. Vivian filled that out. Well, Irma Gerd, it's the finale next week. Are you ready to get this show over with? And then we don't have to talk to each other anymore. Do you think we'll even be able to resurrect Vicky Licks for the finale?
I think there is a very good chance that we can.
Do you think that there might be a potential that we'll get Vicky Licks back? Or will it be Vicky?
If you want Vicky to be on the finale of Squirrel Talk, Canada's Drag Race Season 3, write in, rate, comment, subscribe, give us 5 stars. If you're going to give us anything less, don't do that.
Slide into our DMs, slide into Vicky's DMs, any of them you want.
If you can find her.
And maybe we'll make it happen for you, squirrels.
Ooh, no promises, but we'll try. I'll be screaming at my mother from down the street. Mom! Yeah.
Oh. Is she out there?
Ma!
She seems to have stopped farting, so that's a good sign.
That is a good sign. It's gotten a little quieter out here, yeah.
Well, and that's it. Better. That's it, Selena. We did it. We did it again.
We did it. I cannot wait to come back here next week and talk about Camp Wanakiki Season 4, Episode 3.
Me too. It's a dramatic one, I'll tell you that.
Ooh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it's très excitant. Mm-hmm.
There's some drama.
Drama on the comedy show.
Drama on a comedy show. It'll be interesting to see how they represent this one. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. But for now, I'm a winner. Woo!
And listen, if you're in Toronto and you want to see me and Hillary live, you can come see Yas and Vile Presents, the play that we just wrote just now, at Comedy Bar on Wednesday, September 14th at 8 o'clock. Ticket link in my bio on Instagram at Selena Vile.
Or you can catch us. We're doing it like every second Wednesday at Comedy Bar in Toronto.
That's not true. It's the second Wednesday of every month.
Second Wednesday of every... Yeah, that's what I mean. Whatever. Moving on.
We should just do it every second Wednesday just so it makes sense to people. All right. That's enough.
Yeah. And you can see us around Toronto. We're on street corners and whatever. So, okay. Well, talk to you next week, Selena.
We did it. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye
now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Did you enjoy your nuts?